This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Swing, high fly ball! Belt to right center! And the Braves have won it!
There's a new home run champion of all time! And it's Henry Aaron!
A walk-off homer from Freeman and the Braves win it!
Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the first place Atlanta Braves. I hope I didn't just curse it, but I just wanted to go ahead and throw it out there because, boy, it sure does feel nice to be August 17th as we're taping this and for the Atlanta Braves to be back in first place. So hopefully that's how we'll greet you every week for the rest of this season.
There we go.
So I'm Ricky Mast, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager, virtually via Zoom alongside director of Braves alumni relations, Greg McMichael. Greg, I mentioned this to our guest. This player that we have on today is somebody you and I have both been intrigued with since our adventure, we'll call it, as Bubba and Harry calling some spring training games on Facebook last year. Be honest with you, as we told him, or as I just told him, I had never heard of him before and didn't know anything about him. I don't even think when he was playing in some of those spring training games or the summer camp games, I don't even know that he had a name on the back of his jersey. I think he was one of the guys that was just number 96 or something. I could be wrong about that. Don't quote me on it. But he came out of nowhere to make that team last year. And, man, he has not just made the team, but solidified himself as a very, very important piece of the bullpen. At times, right now included, maybe the best reliever in the Braves bullpen. Tyler Matzek, and man, does he have a heck of a story to tell. This is just the guy you and I have both been intrigued with since we first saw him. And what a story. Anytime your career is you signed, got drafted, and then ended up in independent ball, and then somehow made it back to the big leagues, there's a story to tell there. So
Number one pick. He was right. Number one pick, 11th pick overall. So, yeah, fascinating story. And when you're, as he says, your only goal is just to be able to play catch again. Not as much getting to the big leagues, but just playing catch. So it was a great story. Great to hear from him.
Absolutely. Well, we won't beat around the bush too much. We want to get you right to the interview with Tyler. Just a small note. He's obviously, as we're taping this, on the road in Miami, and we're still back here in Atlanta, and had a few technical issues at the beginning. So there might be one or two times there where you hear a little drop out or an awkward cut. But
oh, that's right. That was the Marlins. Well, maybe they didn't pay their Wi-Fi bill or something.
Do you know Jeter at all? Maybe you can send him an email.
They're cutting back big time. You see how they had to have like mannequins in the stands last night.
Yeah. Well, it's just the way we can tell them to maybe get one of those. What is the extender for your router?
Send him a note.
Yeah.
Dude, have you ever heard of an extender?
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. You go ahead and write that email right now. And in the meantime, we'll take the good folks out there in Braves country to our interview with Braves relief pitcher Tyler Matzek.
Matzek ready is 1-2. Struck him out. They've got him twice with that high fastball. No argument from Votto. Just a shake of his head. And Matzek comes in and puts out a Cincinnati rally in the eighth inning.
Well, hey, Tyler. Thanks for joining us on Behind the Braves. We have had you on our list to want to try to talk to for some time now. We've been appreciating how you've been pitching and kind of hearing your story. We feel like that it's probably not been told enough, and we kind of wanted to get into that with you a little bit. But we definitely love what you've been doing. And I guess the first question I have is just how you feeling right now. I know we're in the dog days of summer and you've been pitching a lot. So how are you feeling these days?
Body feels great. like I said, I got a little bit of a cold right now. So dealing with that, but the body feels great. Arm feels good. You know, I don't think I've been overworked at all. I think the bullpen as a whole, we're pretty healthy. And yeah, I think we're ready to just make this push, get into the playoffs, and then anything can happen from there.
Well, that's great to hear, because I know this can be a real challenging time, but looks like that all the pieces are working right now. And we've been talking about it. Everybody around the Braves have been talking about just the fact that the bullpen looks like it's primed, and the starting lineup, the starters, everybody's working together. And of course, you know, earlier in the season, it was like 1 week it was this part, 1 week it was that part, and we really couldn't put it all together. But you guys have been doing a tremendous job. But I really wanted to get into your story a little bit and just wanted to hear from you, because we know what's happened to you in the past. I mean, you started out your career and then you had kind of a rough spot there. And I really don't know much from, I haven't heard much from you about it, but I know our listeners would love to hear kind of how you got into that. And then most incredibly, how you got out of it to where you are today, just pitching lights out.
Yeah. So I was drafted by the Rockies in the first round, made to the big leagues in 2014, and everything was good. I was a starter, had a very successful year and was looking to have a really good 2015. The spring training of 2015, I ended up with rolling my ankle, and I just, from that moment on, I like couldn't throw a pitch. It led into me actually fully getting the yips, where I couldn't play catch, couldn't throw a ball to somebody. So that year, 2015, I went from pitching in the big leagues all the way down to short season single A, the very, very bottom of the minor leagues. And, I didn't know what was going on. I was kind of just as confused as everybody else. Michael McHenry. And he said, "Hey, I got a guy I need you to meet. His name's Jason Kuhn. He's an ex-Navy SEAL. He's a mental skills guy. He played college baseball and he got the yips. And I really think you need to work with him." I said, "All right, I'll try anything at this point." So I met him in the spring, in the off season, and he ran me through a whole program to help me combat the yips, get over it, and just put me in the right direction, and then gave me the tools to just go and do it. Dive into more detail of that, but yeah, he just kind of saved my career. He'd had the yips as a college player, and he became a Navy SEAL was because people said, "Hey, it's a mental toughness thing. You're not mentally tough." Da, 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 da. He went and said, "You know what? What's the most mentally tough thing on this planet? Being a Navy SEAL." So he said, "I'm going to go do it," and prove to everybody that the yips has nothing to do with your mental strength. It's just an involuntary spasm that your body has. So seeing a guy do that kind of like allowed me, showed me that, hey, this is just something that happens to people. It's not my fault. It's not his fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's just something that happened. So how do we combat it? So he gave me the tools to combat it, and I slowly just dug myself out of that hole. So I paid to play in a league in Southern California just to get noticed. It was like an indie ball scout league kind of thing. So I just tried to get my name back out there. I eventually hooked up with an indie ball team out of Texas, the Texas Air Hogs. I was fortunate also to get a spring training invite with the Mariners, and then also one with the Diamondbacks. Those never panned out, so I ended up just playing with the Texas Air Hogs. 2019, late in 2019, the Braves picked me up. They sent me to AA, and pitched there for I think 1 week, and then went up to AAA. And then in 2020, I went to spring training, and I was fortunate enough to show what I could do. And AA took a chance on me with that weird schedule that pandemic year. Took a chance with the expanded rosters and put me onto the big league team. And I just went from there, took the opportunity, and just tried to make as much out of that opportunity as I possibly could.
Yeah, it's so behind the Braves listeners who've been with us for a little while have heard us talk about this a number of times. Last summer, during that spring training 2.0 or summer camp or whatever we were calling that here at Truist Park, they decided to live stream a couple of you guys' scrimmages or exhibition games or inter-squad matches, whatever they were called, on Facebook Live, on the Braves Facebook page. And we couldn't have mics on the field because of protocols and all that kind of stuff. So they didn't want to have just silence. So they had Greg and I like in the booth calling the game. Neither of us have ever called a game. We just do a podcast and just talk baseball for a little bit. So that was quite an experience for us. And we still laugh about the fact that we actually even got to do that. But one thing that stuck with me is after we called like a week or about a week of those games. And I remember Greg, former relief pitcher, after we would call those games, talking to me a couple of times, he's like, man, I don't know where this Massett guy came from, but I really like what I've seen out of him. And I was like, I know he's looking great. And just, it's so cool because I'll be perfectly honest. I wasn't aware of your story until you showed up in summer camp or in spring training last year, and reading up on you, it's so fascinating. Pitching an independent ball has to be, were there ever times where you thought, all right, maybe this just isn't going to pan out for me? I mean, did you ever even think of giving up, or was that never even a thought?
No, it was definitely a thought. 2017, I looked at my wife and I said, hey, I don't know if baseball's gonna be a thing. I'm thinking about going back to school. And she broke down and started crying and said, like, no, I think you have more to offer the game. You're better than this and all this stuff. And I was like, all right, well, if she can go through, and she just said, like, I'm going to stick by your side, whatever you do, but I think you should continue to play baseball. And I said, all right, well, if she's fine with me going ahead and trying to pursue this, why can't I? You know, why can't I just keep going and doing it? I can take the pain, or if she can take the pain. So whatever it's going to be, the mental pain of just going through and not being able to do something that you should be able to do, I'll figure it out. I'll do it. And that was the last point I really thought about, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. And from that point on, it was, all right, I'm doing this no matter what it takes. And the thing for me that really kept me going every day, waking up, going to the gym, throwing, even though I couldn't throw it, couldn't even play catch. You know, I'd burned through so many catch partners that were playing fetch more than catch. It was being able to look back when I'm, 60, 70 years old and be like, look, I did everything I possibly could at that time to try and fix the problem that was given to me. You know, and knowing that I could look myself in the mirror when I'm 60, 70 years old and say that was what I was, I did everything I could, was the only thing that kept me going a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. Everything worked out to where I actually made it back to the big leagues. I mean, I just wanted a cup of coffee, honestly. I just wanted to be able to get back. I don't even know if the big leagues would have been cool. That was always the dream to get back. But just to play catch was the dream, man. To go out mm-hmm. and play on a field with just a bunch of friends and throw a strike was going to be it, and then it all just started snowballing into the right direction. And it just was an immovable, an unstoppable force, just kept going. Mm.
Was there ever a point where you like, I don't know, I feel like this way in golf, all of a sudden ball goes this way, goes that way. And then I was like, you hit that one shot. You're like, oh my gosh, I think I found it. Was there any of that? Or was it just this gradual move towards where you wanted to be? Or was there just some kind of an aha moment for you where it just all clicked?
There was an aha moment with the mechanics. And I think the mental part was a slow process of beginning to trust myself kind of thing. For so long, I was always, it was a fear-based throw instead of an aggressive-based throw. So every time I picked up a ball, I was afraid to mess up instead of like, I'm going to go and I'm going to throw this ball and it's going to be aggressively right where I want it to go. That's what Jason Kuhn helped me out. The Navy SEAL helped me with was making that mental transition. And that took some time because for years I trained my mind to do one way and I needed to change it and teach it to do it another way. The mechanical thing for so long, just to survive and try and throw, I trained myself some really bad mechanics just to like lock my arm almost and like drag the ball to the zone, just to like keep it in somewhat close of an area. But I had a pitching coach in indie ball, Kevin Joseph. And he said, hey, you ever thought about just like bringing it up here almost to your ear and just that feeling of doing this? And I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. And I did it in one bullpen and boom, the velo jumped up, the athleticism and the arm jumped back. It became a throw again and not like a catapult. Mm-hmm. And so that mechanic adjustment was a real quick one. The mental one took a little bit of time.
Was there a point once you'd made the big league team, where you realized, okay, this isn't, I'm not just here for a cup of coffee. Like I am here. I am a big leaguer and I'm a very important part of this bullpen. I mean, was there a moment which you just went, I'm not just here for a cup of coffee. I'm here to stay for a while.
I mean, I would say that obviously now we're in like what, year two, I've gotten a little bit comfortable. I'm not worried about going up and down. In 2020, it was not that. I was like, all right, man, the taxi squad is right there. You know, I don't want to go back that taxi squad. I'm fortunate enough that the rosters have expanded. Let's go prove these guys what I can do. And, you know, again, be aggressive and go out there and do what I can do. You know, now that we're getting into year two, it's like, okay, now I feel like I'm actually part of the team, part of, you know, kind of moving forward with this team and moving into the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, I'm always, every single day I'm showing up and I'm trying to fight for my spot because we got a bunch of guys that are in AA, AAA that are really good too. So, you know, it's a friendly competition kind of thing. And yeah, I just want to keep this spot, whether it's, you know, for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, as long as it can be.
Well, Tyler, one thing I love about your story is that, you know, you got to a point where things got very simple. You know, I just want to play catch. You know, you went through the struggle, and I think that only makes us stronger. It allows us to go back to something that's very basic, and that's just, you know, keeping life simple, you know, making the game simple. And I know you had such a phenomenal year last year. You just threw the ball tremendous. And then this year, I don't think you threw it as well as you wanted to early on. But then all of a sudden something clicked and, man, you got right back into that groove that you were in last year. So take us a little bit through, you know, what was going on earlier? It seemed like you weren't executing the same way. You were close, but you weren't quite getting that, but you were just missing. And then all of a sudden something happened about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And man, you've just been spot on.
Yeah. So I'd say spring training went really well. The first few weeks went really well. And then, you know, the thing about baseball is that you're constantly looking to get better. And so I sat down with our pitching coaches and I said, you know, we talked about, hey, when you do this with your mechanics, it was kind of a little bit more rotational, less direct, your velo goes up and your pitch effectiveness goes up. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't even notice that. So I was kind of working on a little bit of a mechanical thing to try and make it, try and bump the velo up a little bit more even. And it just wasn't working. It became erratic, kind of all over the place, with the fastball, and then the off speed wasn't working as well. So it was an adjustment that I was trying to make with the mechanics, and it just didn't work. So it took me a little bit of time to get back to the older mechanics that I was throwing with in spring training and like early in the first week or so of the season. And from that point on, I was just like, hey guys, this is what I feel comfortable. This is how I feel like I can throw strikes at a consistent, you know, rate. This is what I'm going to stick with. Whether I lose a little bit of this or a little bit of that on my pitches, I'll take that with being able to command the zone. And they were like, all right, sounds good. I mean, they were just trying to help me get better. And they saw some things analytically and said, hey, when you throw like this, it does this. And I was like, all right, let's try. And yeah, it's almost like my misses are more effective than my non-misses. So they were trying to make me throw like what I consider a miss on a consistent basis. And it just, I mean, I like the, we attempted it and it just didn't work. So it was 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it was, of trying something that didn't work, but sorry.
All right. So I want to ask something not baseball related, but this is something I've wanted to ask you since the first time you came into a regular season game last year. So I work all of our home games from the press box, and I'm on the social media side of things, but the home games, I'm in the press box. So I hear everybody's entrance music, warm-up music, and all that. Long time Behind the Braves listeners know that I'm not just a Metallica fan. I am like the Metallica fanboy of all fanboys. Like, I just love them to death. So I love that you come into a Metallica song, but it's from their last album, and it's not like one of the ones you would expect. So I'm just Atlas Rise, for those wondering. I'm just curious, and this is, I'm sorry if this is not interesting to everybody, but I am very interested in this. I want to know how Atlas Rise became your entrance music.
It was something I loved to listen to when I was lifting, and the song just kind of clicked for me. Every time I was doing a big lift or something, I would turn it on, and yeah, I just love the song. It's a great song. I mean, Metallica is a great band, obviously, one of the best ever. And yeah, like you said, it's not a song that everybody knows. You know, and you can kind of hear that it's Metallica, but I think their album, it's off the album in 2016 or 17. So it's a newer song. But yeah, I just enjoy the song, honestly.
Greg, that was my one question I had to ask for me.
I get it. I get it. Tyler, we appreciate you spending time with us, and really like what you're doing out there. Keep it up. And if it ain't broke, you know, there ain't nothing to fix. Right. So keep doing what you're doing. And I'll just leave you with this. I pitched back when Leo Mazzoni was our pitching coach, and I was pitching against the Mets, and I threw a cutter and the guy hit it out, and I came in from the mound, and Leo goes, "What was that pitch?" And I said, "Oh, it was a cutter." He goes, "You don't throw cutters." I said, "Leo, I'm trying to get better. I was trying to do something different." He goes, "We don't pay you to do anything different than throwing changeups. So don't try anything different." There's some truth to that, right? You gotta be who you are. So, but we really like who you are and how you're pitching. So keep it up, and we're pulling for you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Ty. Right. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one. See you.
As another 0-2. Swing and a miss. Mancik with bookend strikeouts sends us to the seventh inning. Top of the order coming up is the Braves.
Our thanks again to Braves relief pitcher Tyler Mancik for joining us here behind the Braves. Gosh, Greg, I hope we get to talk to him again, because I feel like there's so many more things and details I'd love to hear about his journey to that ultimately brought him here to Atlanta. So hopefully we'll get to do that again at some point in the future. Hey, you know, I mentioned earlier, it's nice that it's mid-August and that the Braves are in first place. But as I was looking at the calendar and kind of looking towards that September schedule, I went, man, we're getting close to that November fantasy camp, Braves fantasy camp. And I can't wait. So do we have any news regarding Braves fantasy camp?
We do. I can announce our coaches.
Okay. You haven't told me this yet. I'll tell the people. You told me like I can announce the coaches. I went, okay. Don't tell me beforehand. I want to hear it live on Behind the Braves.
Yeah, and we've got some new guys too. So we'll see if you know who these guys are. So some of our veterans, Terry Pendleton, Braves Hall of Famer, he's going to be there. Marcus Giles, fantasy camp favorite. And let's see, Eddie Perez, World Series champion. And let's see who else. So Keith Lockhart, who's new.
Nice.
He's a good dude. And then Michael Tucker. Yeah. So those are our managers, and then our pitching coaches: Pete Smith, fantasy camp veteran; Denny Nagel, fantasy camp veteran; Marvin Friedman, fantasy camp veteran; Mike Bielecki. Did you meet Mike?
I'm not sure. We might have met briefly. We did.
Okay.
I think we did meet briefly. Yeah.
And then new fantasy camp member is Mike Remlinger.
Nice.
So did you meet Mike when he was here?
I did not.
No. Unbelievable pitcher. He reminds me a lot of Mancik, even though they had a little bit different styles, but he just dominated lefties and righties. He could pitch. He could start. I mean, he could relieve. He could start. He could do whatever. But there was a four-year period where Mike was unhittable. And I feel like that, you know, Tyler's in that same type of mode, that he just got in a groove and he put the ball where he wanted to, and he was unhittable.
Well, that is awesome. That is one heck of a lineup. And some of the personalities you've got mixed in there, those, especially those late nights around the pit, around the fire, there's going to be some very funny stories told and a lot of laughs with those guys you've got. And
that is correct.
A lot of really entertaining stuff that's going to happen that week. I mean, heck, you were three names into that. I think you'd mentioned Giles and Eddie Perez. Yeah. Oh man, they're going to keep everybody in stitches. So that's awesome.
That's right.
Well, that's great. Well, where can people, I know you still got some spots available. So where can people go to?
Yeah. Braves.com/fantasy camp. Check it out. I've got a example itinerary there that we're going to be using, and there's FAQs where you can find out more about the camp, or heck, you can just email me, greg.mcmichael@braves.com. If you have some questions, that the website doesn't answer. So let me know. Be happy to talk to you about it.
Perfect. Perfect. And then if they have any other questions about Miami or Florida or the Florida area, they can email Jeter like you just did.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give Derek a call.
Yeah. And if you have any other questions about anything else, you can email me, but I don't know what I don't know. I don't have much knowledge about anything around here, but you know, if you just feel like shoot me a note, I'll be happy to talk to you.
Hey, you're all things digital.
That's true. That's true. If you want to yell at somebody about a bad tweet or a Facebook post or something, you can send that my way and I'll see what I can do for you. All right. Well, thanks so much to Tyler Matzik for joining us here on Behind the Braves and to John Kerber and the good folks at Braves Media Relations for arranging that and putting that together. We very much appreciate it. For Greg McMichael, I'm Ricky Mast. We'll see you next week on Behind the First Place Atlanta Braves.
Hey, Braves Country, we just wanted to remind you to rate, review, and subscribe Behind the Braves on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or at braves.com/behindthebraves, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on Behind the Braves.